glad you're here. Delicious, sweet, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for March 28th. 2024. I'm your friend Donna Leland, and we welcome back our friend Russ Pierce. Russ is the founder and director of Reasons for Belief. That's an apologetic ministry that seeks to establish and develop and grow those strong in their faith. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Russ.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, and you've got a great message. This is something you take around to different churches.
It is. It is. You know, with Easter being right around the corner, the resurrection is so foundational to our faith. And there's so much science that supports the resurrection that I'm just very anxious and very excited to share it with your audience.
Yeah, no, this is great. And so you're going to meld together science and the resurrection.
Yes. What I'm going to do is show you how advances in medical science line up with the Bible and how scriptures can be supported by modern medical science. I'm going to show you historically, logically, even forensically, evidence that supports Jesus' death and resurrection. It's pretty amazing.
Let's get going.
Well, as we mentioned, the resurrection, and one of the reasons that we're presenting this information is because the resurrection is foundational to the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So our faith, the foundation of our faith, is really based on the resurrection. That's one of the reasons why it's so important. And surveys have found that the number one reason for a lack of faith is lack of credible evidence. So Donna, we're hoping to present a lot of credible evidence for the death and resurrection of Jesus. How we're going to do that, and it's pretty interesting how you do that, proving something that's happened nearly 2,000 years ago can be difficult, but we're going to approach it like you would, like a Law and Order or cold case files. We're going to look at the evidence, we're going to rebuild the scenario and show how science supports every step that's talked about in the Bible and the scriptures. And we're going to start with medically. You know, there's a lot of advances in medical science, and many of them line right up with the Bible, with the scriptures in the Bible. We'll start with Jesus' death. It talks about in the Bible, you know, we know from the Bible that Jesus went through a flogging, and then he went through his crucifixion. There's medical science that supports that really, really well. As it says, before the flogging, before Jesus was flogged, it says in Luke 22:44, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And you know there's actually a medical condition that supports that. You know, when I first read that years ago, I thought, sweating blood, that sounds really unusual. But modern science, medical science, there's a condition called hematidrosis. It's a rare clinical condition where the capillary, the blood vessels that feed the sweat glands, you know, we have sweat glands all over our body.
Yeah.
And the capillary blood vessels that supply those sweat glands, under extreme stress, they rupture, and you actually can sweat blood. Blood comes out of your skin. So there's actually a medical condition that supports Luke 22:44, which shows, you know, the extreme stress that Jesus was under before he was going to go through his flogging and his crucifixion, that was so severe that it caused him to sweat blood in a medical condition called hematidrosis. Medical doctors tell us that the hematidrosis condition makes your skin very, very sensitive. It's like, have you ever had a blister or a burn? Your skin it hurts just to touch it. Well, Jesus' skin was like that, because that hematidrosis, the rupture of the capillary blood vessels that feed your sweat glands, make your skin very sensitive. And then with his skin being so sensitive, Jesus went to the flogging where he was giving 39 lashes with the Roman scourge, which, as if you remember, the Roman scourge is like a whip that had pieces of bone and hard objects in it. So when Jesus was whipped with this, it would literally remove large pieces of flesh from his body. It was so severe. and his skin already being sensitive and him being whipped 39 times with the Roman scourge, the doctors say, and recreating this situation that Jesus went through, that his skin and blood vessels would have been shredded from from the top of his legs all the way to his shoulders. The skeletal muscles would have been ripped down to the bone, the severity of what he went through. And there would have been an extreme blood loss. The flogging that Jesus experienced was very, very severe. They actually come up with a word, the crucifixion that Jesus went through, this terrible situation that he went through, was so severe they didn't have a word that was adequate to explain how excruciating, and that's the word, excruciating. The word excruciating was actually developed to explain this crucifixion that Jesus went through, how terrible it was. It was so terrible they didn't have a word at that time that was adequate to explain it. But so Jesus, to explain what happened here, before the flogging, Jesus went through hematidrosis where he was sweating blood, and then when he went through the flogging, he had extreme blood loss because his back was literally shredded. There's a condition, Donna, called a hypovolemic shock. Mm-hmm. It's when you have extreme blood loss. And this hypovolemic shock is what doctors say that Jesus was going through after his flogging because of the extreme amount of blood loss that he encountered. And this hypovolemic shock causes your heart to race, it causes your blood pressure to drop, and it makes someone very, very thirsty. It makes you faint and near collapse. And there's two scriptures that explain that Jesus was experiencing this right after his flogging. It says in Matthew 27:32, when Jesus was faint, near collapse, and Simon carried the cross for him, it says, as they were carrying out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They carried the cross for Jesus because he was faint and near collapse from the hypovolemic shock that he was in from the blood loss. And then it says in Matthew 27:34, Jesus was thirsty and they offered him drink. It said they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. Another condition from hypovolemic shock is you become very, very thirsty. Mm-hmm. So Matthew 27:32 and Matthew 27:34 both line up with the condition, the medical condition that Jesus would have been experiencing this time, the hypovolemic shock. Both those scriptures support that and show what Jesus was going through. They flogged him, and then they go to put him on the cross. And in the crucifixion, first of all, I don't know if your listeners know, but many of the pictures that they show of Jesus' crucifixion, they have nails in his hands.
Right.
Well, the medical experts say it actually was not in his hands. They say the hand, it actually is not got enough, it would have ripped right out of his hands. There's not enough structure there to hold up a weight of a person. They actually, on these Roman crucifixions, they actually put the nails in their wrist and not in their hand. The reason they called it hand in the Bible is because the wrist was actually considered part of the hand. When they said hand, they were actually talking about the wrist and not the middle of the hand, as many of the pictures show. And the reason, Donna, that they put it in the wrist is you have two bones that comprise the upper part of your arm, right where it connects to your hand. And they would put that nail between those two bones, which would make it much more secure. But doctors tell us it was also much more painful. There's a major nerve that runs right in the middle of the wrist that would have been punctured by that large nail that they put in there. So here Jesus has already went through the hematidrosis, where he's already sweating blood, his skin is super sensitive, and then he goes and he's flogged 39 times, where they've shredded his back. They said that it was to the point where his bones were exposed. He had so much blood loss, he's in hypovolemic shock, he's weak, he's near collapse, he's thirsty. The scriptures reflect that, and now he goes and they're nailing him onto the cross. They run nails through his wrist, extremely painful. They're holding him up. They got a nail in both wrists, and the weight of his body dislocates his shoulder. So both of his shoulders dislocate. And now, Donna, it's even worse. When you're hanging on the cross, where you're hanging by the nails in your wrists, your weight is pulling down, and your body, your lungs are actually in the inhale position, and you can't breathe. Many people, the doctors say, many people that are crucified died of asphyxiation. They couldn't breathe. So in order to breathe, Jesus would have to push up on his feet that are also nailed into the cross, push up on his feet so that he could push up and exhale and then take a breath and then go back down again. And he would have to continue to push himself up for every breath to be able to breathe. And can you imagine, Donna, here his back, his skin is super sensitive from the hematidrosis. His back has been ripped to the bone. He's bleeding like crazy. And for every breath, Donna, he's pushing up and his back is rubbing on that large wooden post that's the pillar of the cross. For every breath, he's pushing up with the nails in his hands, with pain that we can't even understand. And for every breath, he's pushing up on that. It's such a severe situation that he's going through. And because he has to push himself up for every breath, he's having trouble breathing.
Yeah.
And the medical experts tell us there's another medical condition that Jesus experienced. It's called respiratory acidosis. It's a condition that occurs when the lungs cannot remove all the carbon dioxide in your body because he's having trouble breathing. And this respiratory acidosis, it causes erratic and rapid heartbeat, which causes then, it's a condition called pericardial effusion. And I know these are a lot of medical terms, but modern medicine knows this, and it's so amazing how it lines right up with Scripture. So the trouble breathing causes the respiratory acidosis because he's not being able to exhale the carbon dioxide. And then the respiratory acidosis, this buildup of carbon dioxide, makes the heart start going crazy. It goes erratic, it's beating like crazy. And that erratic, rapid heartbeat causes there's a sac that covers the heart. It's called the pericardium. And it causes, because of this erratic and rapid heartbeat from the respiratory acidosis, the fluid starts to build up, this sac around the heart. So the heart is just beating like crazy, and it causes this fluid to build up. It's kind of like, you know, when you hurt yourself and you get a blister,
yeah.
that blister builds up fluid to protect the area that was hurt. You start to build up fluid around the heart because the heart is just going crazy and it's trying to cushion it and it's trying to protect it. And so this fluid builds up in this sac-like structure around the heart. And then we see in John 19:33 and 34, it says, and I'm sure you've read the scripture before, and I've never understood it, Donna, until I understood the medical terms. It says in John 19, verses 33 and 34, but when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs because he was already dead, but it says instead, it says one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. You know, I never knew, why would you see water, clear water coming out of Jesus' side when they pierced his heart with this spear, like it says in John 19:33. It's because he had experienced pericardial effusion where there was a buildup of that fluid around his heart. So that's a medical condition that explains the scripture and explains why the Roman soldiers saw that when they pierced his side.
Mm.
And I have another one for you. This is really interesting. What did Jesus actually die of? Did he die of asphyxiation? Did he die of blood loss?
Yeah.
Did he die of a heart attack? Well, the medical experts, that it's actually, Donna, they've actually, the AMA, the American Medical Association, has actually done a study where they took all that they know about what Jesus went through and they run it through an investigation to see if it lines up with what they know about modern medicine. And you know, Donna, they found that it does.
Mm.
It's very, very accurate. But in doing this study, they determined, the medical experts determined what actually killed Jesus. From the flogging, they said that Jesus was in hypovolemic shock because of the lack of blood. And then from the crucifixion, he was in respiratory acidosis because he was having trouble breathing. And that respiratory acidosis caused the pericardial effusion. But if you remember, the respiratory acidosis causes the heart to beat quickly and erratically, and there's no blood to pump. The heart is going crazy. What the experts say is that as Jesus' heart began to flutter and pound, he could tell that he was about to die. He could tell that he was coming to the end of his life. And that's when he called out to Father God in Luke 23:46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said that, he breathed his last breath. The doctors say he died of a heart attack.
A heart attack.
Jesus died of a heart attack, and he went through all these medical conditions. This is how modern medicine is corroborating the conditions and symptoms of Jesus' death nearly 2,000 years after it happened. But it lines completely up with Scripture, which is totally amazing. So before medical explanations were available, Scripture showed in Matthew 27:32-34 that Jesus was in hypovolemic shock. In Luke 23:46 that Jesus suffered from respiratory acidosis. In John 19:36 it talked about him already being dead because he didn't break his legs. And then in John 19:34 when the Roman soldier put the spear into Jesus' side, they saw blood and water, and that's because of pericardial effusion. Isn't that amazing
that
how
is.
Modern science supports Jesus' death? Donna, there's also historical evidence. We went through the medical evidence. There's also historical evidence that supports Jesus' death and resurrection. There are historians, there are several very noted historians that were non-Christian, like Tacitus and Suetonius and Josephus. They were Roman historians that confirmed how he was crucified and confirmed many of the things that he went through. And these historians have confirmed in their writings many of the things that happened, but one of the things that the historians have confirmed is how accurate the Bible is as a historical document. Many of the people, the places, and the events in the Bible, so many of them, Donna, have been proven that historians feel that the Bible and the Scriptures are very, very historically accurate. So in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, where it says, where the Apostle Paul talks about, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures." Historians say that's completely accurate because the writings of Apostle Paul are shown to be historically accurate. And so this is very good historical evidence that Jesus did in fact die, was resurrected. It's very good. There's many, many more historical evidences that show that support Jesus' death from a historical standpoint. And there's also logical evidence, which is really, really interesting. And these logical points, Donna, I find very fascinating. Like, for one, you know how it talks about the disciples after Jesus' resurrection? It talks about the disciples were inspired to proclaim Jesus as victorious over death, and the disciples gave their lives starting a worldwide movement, spreading the gospel. They were inspired and fired up after Jesus' resurrection. Well, think about this. If Jesus wouldn't have been resurrected, if he would have just barely, by some miracle, survived the flogging and the crucifixion, but he wasn't truly resurrected, he would have looked terrible.
Yeah.
He couldn't, the doctors say he wouldn't have been able to walk. His shoulders would have been out of joint. He would have been bloodied, and because of the flogging, he'd have been dehydrated. He'd have a hole in his side. He would have looked terrible. He wouldn't have inspired the disciples to proclaim Jesus as the glory over death. They would have felt bad for him, and they would have felt sorry for him. So this is one of the logical investigative reasoning points that the experts say that just from that point alone, you know, if Jesus would have looked terrible, they wouldn't have been so inspired to proclaim Jesus' victory over death. There's another logical investigative reasoning evidence that supports Jesus' resurrection, and I thought this was also interesting. You know, the disciples, after Jesus' resurrection, they went on to be bold witnesses for Christ, and they went all over proclaiming the gospel. And they all, most of them anyway, most of the disciples suffered greatly for their faith. Many of them had violent deaths because of their bold witness. Donna, if it would have been a lie, if Jesus wouldn't have actually resurrected, the disciples would have known it. They would have seen that it wasn't true. Would they still go to their death proclaiming Jesus' resurrection? No one gives up their life for a lie.
Right.
So that's more evidence that it actually did happen, because they all went to their death, and some of them a very terrible death, proclaiming Jesus and proclaiming the gospel. And they wouldn't have done that if they weren't certain that they actually had seen it. Some other logical and historical evidences of Jesus' death and resurrection I find very interesting. The site of Jesus' death was known to everyone. The experts say that everyone knew where Jesus' tomb was. If the tomb hadn't been empty, It would have been impossible to have this worldwide movement. The resurrection would have discarded as actually happening if the body was still there. And they said because the tomb was known by everyone, if any single person had seen that the tomb was not empty, they would have said something. It would have been reversed. But no one did. And so the point that they're making here is that, you know, like any fact that you experience, if anyone can say, no, that's not true, then the story gets changed. But no one stood up and said, oh no, the tomb wasn't empty, because everyone knew it was. And they consider that very good evidence that the tomb was empty, because no one stood up and said that it wasn't. Do you know, Donna, there's even forensic proof of the resurrection? And I thought this was fascinating. Forensic archaeologists discovered in first century Rome. You know, these are archaeologists. They're not looking for proof of Christianity. They're digging in first century Rome location just like archaeologists do. And what they noticed that in first century Rome, that something significant had changed. The common practice in first century Rome for burial was to be cremated. In the event of cremation, what they did is they cremated the bodies and they put them in urns, and they had these walls. They took them to what's called the necropolis. They called it the city of the dead, and they were put in these little. There were little openings in the walls, and they would put the urns of the people that had died. It was a common practice. First century Rome, when you died, they cremated you, they put you in an urn, they put you a spot in the wall. So they had these walls they called the necropolis, the city of the dead, where they just had it lined with urns of people that had been cremated. That was the common practice of the day. What the forensic archaeologists discovered, it was abruptly changed. They noticed they're digging and they see urns, and all of a sudden the urns stop. And what they're finding, Donna, is actual grave sites. There's an abrupt change. They're finding an abrupt change from cremation to grave sites, to being buried. And what they did, and I think this is so amazing, when they went back and tried to date when that change took place, guess what? They said that the change in the burial practice of the first century Romans coincided precisely with the resurrection of Jesus.
We appreciate so much, Russ, all your insight into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. If someone would like to contact your ministry, where should they go to?
We could be reached at reasonsforbelief.org. We'd love to have you check out our website, and there's a place there to leave us a message or send us a note. Thank you very much. We'd love to hear from you.
And thanks so much, dear listeners, for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media.